May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water to the wilderness, rivers to the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading today is from the second chapter of Matthew. It tells the story of the Magi. I invite you to listen for the word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who's been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they'd heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O holy God, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. We are here at the beginning of a new year on a Sunday when we seek the guidance of God, remembering the story of the Magi who followed a star from their Persian homeland to see the baby Jesus born and to bring him gifts. I had always heard this story told as one that reminded us or clued us in from the beginning, from the manger scene, from the nativity, to the power of this story to transcend the time and place and culture of Jesus' origin. Already from the beginning, it was foreigners, strangers from faraway places who saw the sign in the star as a sign in the sky, and came to bring gifts to the Christ child. A sign of the capacity of Christ's presence to make us want to worship God. It wasn't until this year, reading commentary by Kelly Nikondeha in her devotional, First Advent in Palestine, that I really started contemplating what must have motivated the Magi in focusing their attention toward the stars and preparing them with a readiness for this journey. Nikondeha reminds us of the political and cultural changes that had happened in their homeland after, this is like digging way back into world history files in the back of my brain, after Alexander the Great brought Greek influence into Persia and changed the reality for the culture of the people who would bring the Magi into the story. The Persians' culture changed because of the influence of the Greeks, making them ready to look for a sign of liberation, not just to worship the Christ child, but hungry for something to change for them that would feel like liberation and restoration. Something subtle and significant shifted in my imagination when I started perceiving the Magi not just as accessories who add to the sense of worship and wonder about Christ's birth, but as additional citizens of this planet hungry for liberation, hungry enough to pay attention to the stars and to believe in a sign set in them that would motivate a journey across significant distance in search of that something that is life and liberation and joy. As we read this story of the Magi here on this first Sunday of the new year, in the final Sunday of our Christmas celebrations, we hear the invitation to be people who long for life and liberation and restoration and joy. I love the line in this passage and these verses here in the Gospel of Matthew that describes the moment after the Magi laid the gifts at Christ Jesus' feet when it says that they were overwhelmed with joy. It was an immediate experience, a foretaste of the fullness of liberation, an exceptional, mystical, wondrous experience of the quality of life that God invites us to. I was thinking about this longing for liberation as I sit with my own fears and hopes for our world, for our planet, for our nation here at the turn of the year. I find myself looking for signs of guidance and hope that will help us be the people that we're called to be. I wanted to share with you a piece of a letter that the bishops of our United Methodist Church wrote that they ask to be shared in churches on this Epiphany Sunday in United Methodist churches around the world, but especially here in the U.S., an invitation to think about our faith and our care for migrants, immigrants, and refugees. They write, "Jesus said, 'When you welcome the stranger, you welcome me.'" Matthew 25:35. "At no time has the church in the U.S. had a greater opportunity to welcome Jesus among us as he journeys with migrants, immigrants, and refugees than today. We, your bishops, are clear that the situation these beloved of God face as the Trump administration comes to power threatens their humanity, livelihood, and basic human rights. For decades, a broken immigration system in the U.S. has kept migrants, immigrants, and refugees in this country living in the shadows of society in a state of perpetual fear. They've come to the U.S. under forced circumstances, fleeing extreme poverty, hunger, political and religious persecution, war, cartel and gang violence, and the severe impact of climate change. Some are actively recruited by U.S. companies who need their labor. Yet migrants, immigrants, and refugees help sustain the U.S. economy, serve our families, caring for our children and our elderly, cleaning our homes, landscaping our properties, building our roads and the houses we live in, and cultivating and picking the crops that feed our families. They are our neighbors, our friends, and members and pastors of our churches. They continue talking about the challenge of this moment, reminding us of statements in our social principles, and end with this closing word. We, your bishops, call upon the people of the United Methodist Church to pray for migrants, immigrants, and refugees among us, and to welcome them with the fullness of Christian love, remembering that as we welcome these, our brothers and sisters, we welcome Jesus, our Lord. I'll share the full text of the letter in our email this week on Wednesday. I invite you to hear and consider this invitation, this moment in the life of our national policies and politics, to be the church in a way that is meaningful to people in need in our neighborhoods and communities and broader world. Thinking about these immigrants and migrants as we come back to the story of the Magi, strangers who came a great distance to remind us of the capacity of Jesus Christ, of the birth of our Savior, to bring a sign of hope-filled liberation to everyone. This morning, our word for the beginning, the word that follows along the theme and devotional we've been using all since the beginning of Advent, that each week has given us a phrase to repeat to ourselves, to our loved ones, to imagine holding a tiny baby in our arms, wrapped in a quilt, saying these words to help shape and guide a young life as it begins. The word for the beginning, the phrase that we have to offer today, is that the road isn't straight. Last week, I had the joy of taking a little bit of vacation and with extended family went out to the Mojave National Preserve to camp way out in the wilderness. We set up a little space for the three of our tents and our cars away out from everything, where the stars were so brilliant and the sunsets were glorious and the company was really good too. I'm still getting good, or that's a very hope-filled way of describing my present status. I'm still learning how to read the off-roading maps that guide our route. I have started paying more attention to the topographical lines that indicate significant elevation change. I've started paying attention to places where the roads get real squiggly, because those mean that the journey is not going to be easy. There will be twists and turns and likely more rocks to slowly make our way over. But I've not yet figured out how to tell which of the roads that look straight and flat are actually easy to drive on. Seldom used desert roads get this phenomenon that's not unlike, you've driven on a gravel road that was washboarded, so there's like bumps that you ride over constantly. The off-the-beaten-trail version of that are called whoop-de-doos. I believe that's a technical term. And they're much wider. So it's like when I was a kid at the grocery store, you could put a nickel in a little machine outside that had you like on a horse that went like this. Or a boat? Anybody have those at the grocery store? It's like that. And you have to go not too fast, or I believe your car will fall apart. On the map, it looked straight, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. It got me thinking about the paths that we take. And in our culture, there is a wisdom given sometimes by good Christians that you should stay on the straight and narrow. But I don't know how to know when those roads are full of whoop-de-doos or when they're flat. There's a wisdom that suggests if our lives are holy, it will be easy or straightforward to get from point A to point B. But sometimes there are really obstacles in the way, beautiful mountains, geography to navigate around, challenges and changes in this life. I think we've over-elevated the helpfulness of the straight and narrow. There's a beauty in the winding and twisting, and also a beauty in changing our plan. In this story from the 12th chapter of Matthew, the Magi first stop to consult King Herod about where this new king has been born, alerting the ruthless and immoral and brutal leader that there is a rival in the wings. He says that they should come back and tell him where the child has been born so that he can pay him homage. But of course, he does not mean to pay reverent respect to this rival king who's been born. He will instead ruthlessly kill young children in an attempt to eliminate this rival. The Magi, though, it tells us in the last verse that I read for us just now, the Magi were warned in a dream and went home by another path. There is a beautiful gift in paying attention to the signs and dreams, to the spiritual nudges and the voices of wise people around us, that causes us to change direction and go in a new way. Sometimes the values of our world suggest that we should set our mind to a thing and never let go, that that's integrity, that it's consistency, that it's sticking with it. But there is also a gift and a beauty in changing the plan, in altering the route, in choosing a different path. It's conversion, really, which is sort of what we're about here at church, turning our ways from the ones we had imagined as important toward the ones that God is inviting us to, converting our priorities away from our own individual needs to the whole of the community, away from fear toward hope, away from anxiety to trust, away from greed toward generosity. We're constantly about that work of conversion. And it makes our road sometimes look really twisty, wiggly, turny, wobbly. But that change, whether it's motivated by us or circumstances outside of our control, is no indication of whether or not we're on the right path, and certainly does not decide whether or not God is going with us. We believe that God is with us in all the twists and turns. Whatever choices we make or are made for us, God goes with us still and gives us in every moment a next thing that is a hope-filled, beautiful possibility. And whatever direction it takes us in, God goes with us, and we're invited to step into that future that is justice and joy, that is liberation and hope, that is love for ourselves and our neighbors and all of creation. The road isn't straight, and it wasn't meant to be. Straight roads are impractical. They don't work. It took me a long time as a child hiking to believe this. Switchbacks on the mountain seem like they take a lot longer. But as I've gotten older, I also discover my body has diminished capacity to just go straight up. So I really appreciate the switchbacks, the wanderings around that get you slowly and gradually up that mountain pass toward the destination. It's a little bit like walking a labyrinth. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to walk a labyrinth. We used to set one out here at church more, but our labyrinth is really big. It's hard to fit anywhere, but maybe you've have a memory of that or have done it in another place. In a labyrinth, you walk a twisting path that eventually leads you to the circle. It's not a maze. There are no trap endings in a labyrinth, but it is a bit deceptive because sometimes it feels as though you're getting really close to the center, the destination. And just when it seems like you're one loop away from the middle, the path takes you all the way back out to the edge of the circle again. And it seems like you've just begun. Life can be like that. Our journeys can feel like that. It seems as though we've been thrown off course or pushed out of the path, but the power and capacity of God makes a way for us to move forward, to continue on the path, not in a direct or easy way, but trusting that when God goes with us, we are on a path that leads us to life. The invitation this Epiphany is to let the power of God be our guide and to trust that our steps, even when it feels like we're having to walk away from what we thought we were headed toward, that our steps are headed in a direction that is holy and that is good and that is beautiful and just. A path that leads toward liberation, not just for ourselves, but also for others. To trust that there's work, there's a step for us to take, a way for us to participate in what God is doing, even when it seems like there's no easy answer, direct route to what we hope for, or a clear path. In the midst of times when it feels difficult, when the work for building just societies feels like it's taken a setback, when love of our neighbor feels in short supply, it can feel frustrating and just like it's never going to work out. But still, we take those steps forward, trusting that there'll be another route option around the bend, another way up toward the world that God intends for us and for all. This Sunday, on the first Sunday of the year, we come to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. We take this bread and this cup, nourishment for our own bodies that reminds us that God is nourishment for our bodies and lives, that God goes with us in a spiritual and physical and material way, that God is inside us, deeply woven into all of who we are. It connects us to each other and to God. This table, the communion table at the center of our worship, is open to everyone, and it also connects us with Christians everywhere who this day or any day share in the sacrament of grace. It reminds us that we're not lone pilgrims on this journey, but part of a movement of hope-filled journeyers, taking the steps available to us, trusting that it will guide us in a way that leads to life. The Words for the Beginning devotional offers for us as a final gift on this Epiphany Sunday, star words. We've done this once before, and I know that some of you have kept your words with you. As you come up for communion this morning, you're invited to draw one of these cards that are upside down here on this center table and take that word and let it be an occasion for reflection or guidance. You're not bound by the word, but maybe it has something that it wants to say to you as you reflect during this year. If you're watching online, there's a link in the worship guide that lets you do this virtually as well. So if you want to share this with friends later too, you can do that. But you're invited to let the world and God through it guide you, trusting that there are steps you can take that may not feel direct because the path isn't straight, but that lead us, that allow us to walk toward love and justice. May it be so. Amen.